This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about virtual worlds. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you play video games, you're familiar with the intricately designed and fantastical worlds that often provide the setting for these games. Some archaeologists and other researchers are using their skills to study these worlds. Others are taking a page from game designers to recreate ancient sites or historical characters. Alan Yu has this look at an emerging academic discipline called archaeogaming.
During the pandemic lockdown in 2020, longtime friends Alex and Pat played video games together to hang out virtually. They had not played any games since the Sega Genesis titles of the late 1980s and 90s. But they bought PlayStation 4 consoles, and they picked a game from a Japanese studio called From Software.
We were not sort of committed gamers, so had no expectations one way or another.
From Software is famous for a series of action games set in medieval-looking fantasy worlds with punishingly difficult combat and spectacular boss fights. You fight enemies like dragons, a demigod with a sword attached to her prosthetic hand, and a lord who turned into a giant snake and lives inside a volcano. But what really got Alex and Pat's attention was the setting, the worlds in these games.
This is not about sort of just the video game. There are layers upon layers of some very real-seeming history there.
The games take you through Japanese castles, poisonous swamps, and intricately designed dungeons with beautifully made death traps. The game developers very intentionally do not explain how the worlds in their games came to be. That way, players feel like they are helping to piece together, write, and imagine the story as they go along.
Pretty much 95% of the history behind these things is purged from the records, just like in real history.
As much as Alex and Pat enjoyed fighting enemies in the games, they found themselves becoming more and more obsessed with everything they saw along the way.
The Tarnished will soon return.
For example, these buildings called Divine Towers in the game Elden Ring. Here's Pat.
They're probably the first things you notice. They're the most impressive architectural features, and we had questions about them immediately.
You cannot miss them, because these are huge stone towers that reach all the way into the sky. And you cannot enter them until you successfully defeat a major enemy. Pat says they noticed that all the Divine Towers have what look like patches of rock, but only on one side, and it's not always the same side.
We just wanted to explain, like, why the hell did the developers make this beautiful tower and then ruin one side of it with, like, a bunch of crap?
Explaining this strange feature became an intellectual quest. Both Pat and Alex are scientists, so they used their training to come up with some ideas. Could these towers have been carved out of giant vertical rocks? Or could there have been a meteor that fell into a pool of lava, and some of the lava splashed onto the side of the towers?
They weren't on the right side, so it wasn't that. So
I mean, just to give you a sense of how much off the deep end we've gone, we made a map, and we drew the angles of which face, basically, this like amorphous rock sludge was on, and tried to see, could this be compatible with a single source, like with a single either volcanic eruption or an impact event, like a meteor.
Alex and Pat spent a year discussing and trying to gather evidence for this and other hypotheses. They concluded that the towers were built by giants, and then the Earth in this game world was pelted by meteors. That turned the crust back into a liquid. The lava cooled again, and some of it ended up on these towers. They had a lot of fun discussing the finer parts of From Software game lore, so they made a YouTube channel to lay out the evidence for their theories. Their channel is called The Tarnished Archaeologist, and it has more than 68,000 subscribers.
We may not be able to decipher Stonehenge anytime soon, but by God, we will figure out the Divine Towers.
Alex and Pat say this is more or less the process they follow in their day jobs as scientists to try to prove or disprove hypotheses.
I did sort of chuckle to myself a couple of months ago when I was reading an art history, like, master's thesis. It's like a 100-page thing that I'm sort of skimming through to find the stuff that I wanted, which I think was about different, like, Roman funerary monuments.
What Alex and Pat and other lore hunters do falls into a relatively new academic discipline called archaeogaming. Andrew Reinhardt is the archaeologist who came up with that term. It was inspired by questions he had while playing World of Warcraft 10 years ago.
You'd be playing, you know, different races or classes, and you'd be going around the landscape, and all of a sudden there'd be this ruined temple. Well, how did that get there?
He became so interested in these fantasy worlds that he did his PhD thesis partly on archaeological studies of The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim, a fantasy role-playing game, and No Man's Sky, a space adventure and survival game with entire galaxies to explore. Recently, he's also been studying Fortnite, a competitive online shooting game where the setting and environment change.
My kid will tell you, I became a crack Fortnite player in order to kind of survive. And I played competitively for a little bit. With that game, yeah, you absolutely have to know what's going on and have complete situational awareness. And you can't tell people to stop. It's like, wait, I'm a scientist. It's like, yeah, buddy.
He says he's just like other archaeologists in that he wants to understand and document human culture.
Digital spaces have this kind of emotional resonance and connection across generations and also across geographic boundaries that you can't help but, as an archaeologist, feel some kind of thrill being able to see this happen and unfold in real time.
Studying virtual worlds is still not quite mainstream with his fellow archaeologists, but it's a growing field. Other archaeologists use a different approach. They use virtual worlds to better understand and recreate the history of the physical world. For example, archaeologist Caitlin Kingsland from the University of South Florida used From Software games to explain what their work entails.
Everything you're learning about a prehistoric society that doesn't have written evidence or written records left, that's all the information you're getting from it. It's from the artifacts and from the environment. So in that way, you know, Elden Ring and the Dark Souls franchise in general tend to be very impactful in understanding, like, archaeological methods.
She's also borrowing a page from game designers to create virtual replicas of ancient sites. For example, an ancient villa in Sicily. She says if you go to this villa today, you have to stand on raised platforms and look down on the intricate mosaics on the floor, but you cannot really get close.
So you're really not experiencing the site in any way that an ancient Roman would have.
She's working with a team on making a game using the existing 3D data so people can virtually do as the Romans did.
Where you can walk on the mosaic floors, which is not safe for the mosaics currently, that will destroy them at a quicker rate than we really need to do. And I think a lot of times we talk about how things used to look in the ancient world, and there's no real way for somebody to visualize that level of scale until you're in the digital environment where we can have reconstructed that.
Archaeologist Colleen Morgan from the University of York did something similar when she studied a Stone Age site in Turkey called Çatalhöyük. Together with her students, she recreated that site as it might have looked in the Stone Age in the online game Second Life. She says that prompted new research questions, like where would people have gotten the raw materials for tools like baskets, and whether people would have put their cooking fires inside or outside. And she explained that what is left of the site today is just the basement, when there would have been more than one story to these Stone Age houses.
And so to me, it just really reconfigured my idea about the site. I mean, what if we went around anywhere today and just evaluated who you are and how you lived by what was found in your basement. What would we find?
She and her students also imagined what Stone Age living would have been like by trying it themselves.
We also tried to remake Neolithic people. So what did they look like? What was their hair like? What kind of clothes did they wear? We ourselves took on avatar parts and we tried to make a movie of Neolithic life at Çatalhöyük.
That experience inspired part of Colleen's present research. Now she's a digital archaeologist at the University of York in the UK. She studies whether virtual avatars of historic figures will change the way people think of them. It goes back to something her PhD supervisor once said about how we view people from the past.
Faceless blobs.
And so she's working with researchers and video game creators on an experiment to make avatars of two historic people from York in the UK who date back to ancient Roman times. Based on the human remains and who the people were buried with, Colleen and her team believe the people were a wealthy woman of African descent and an old gladiator. The researchers then imagine a scenario where the two ancient humans might have met.
She would have been a sponsor, potentially, of him, and then they would be having a meeting, or that the gladiator was actually of an advanced age to the point where that he probably wouldn't be fighting any longer, and so he might be teaching in a gladiator school.
Her team made a 10-minute long virtual reality experience where users can meet these people and interact with them. They tested it with groups of visitors to see if it reduces the faceless blob effect. So far, they think it does. Visitors who had the VR experience look at the exhibits about those people a little more carefully.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.